I'd like to read in Ephesians 1, Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, by God's will, to the saints and the faithful in Christ Jesus who are at Ephesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the world's foundation, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love, having marked us out beforehand for adoption through Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has taken us into favor in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of offenses according to the riches of his grace, which he has caused to abound towards us in all wisdom and intelligence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself for the administration of the fullness of times, to head up all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth, in him whom we have also obtained an inheritance, being marked out beforehand according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who have pre-trusted in the Christ, in whom ye also have trusted, having heard the word of truth, the glad tidings of your salvation, in whom, having believed, ye have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance, to the redemption of the acquired possession, to the praise of his glory. The Apostle Paul here is speaking to believers. And he says of how they've been taken into favor in the Beloved. And this was a very real thing for the writer of this epistle. He had knowledge, but not and zeal. He had zeal, but not according to knowledge. And he was going around and he was opposed to the believers and the Christians. And he imprisoned them and he put them, he persecuted them. Then he came to know. Came in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. The wonderful thing about the glad tidings is it brings you into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. We were speaking the other day, where can a holy God and sinful man meet? Well, at the cross. The person of Christ. There he is at the cross. How do we lay hold of this favor? Do you desire this favor? Do you desire to be in God's favor? Do you desire? Wonderful thing. Those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ know something of it. But even if you know something of the favor of God, I believe Paul's epistle here opens up so much his impression of what the favor in God involves. for ones that have known the Lord Jesus for a long time. God would have you to know what it means to come into His favor. When you're over in England, you notice that every little, all these different food items have the imprint of the Queen. You know, the Queen puts her seal that this is the royal. They like this particular brand of cookies, you know, so they can sell more cookies as the Indians, and they're in the favor. Or somebody is in favor in the political world, you know, they can get this incredible blessing. But how much more great it is to be in God's favor than in man's favor. Favor of God, what it brings with it. Well, man was in the garden. He was in the most favorable environment. Everything was there. Everything that could God can bless with. God could not do more for man than in the garden there. Everything was there to eat. There was no strife. It was all provided. He had to till, but it wasn't like toil and sweat of the brow type of thing. It was pleasant. And God's greatest blessing was that God would come down in the cool of the day and He would commune with man. That is the greatest favor. A living link with God. Is that? God desires to tabernacle with men. He will. That's in His purpose. He has that in mind. Tabernacle of God is with men. So He puts them in an incredibly favorable environment. And and then sin comes in. And the fall of men, mankind comes in. And man is disobedient to God. And man rebels against God. And the one thing God was going to determine, one thing he made, it wasn't 10 commandments in the garden, it was one commandment. And it was, essentially it was that God determines what is right and wrong. There was no way, looking at the fruit, by their sight or by their senses, that they could see that it was wrong to take the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was only by God's word that they could know what was right. But man decided to determine what was right and wrong for himself. And men have, to this day, are determining. And it changes. We have new things that are wrong that were right before, and things that were right that are wrong now. And it changes in man's world. The only standard we have is the Word of God. And they were moved from God's Word. Don't be moved from God's Word. God's Word is essential. The way that God has revealed Himself is essential in coming into God's favor. So, sin comes in. But then God moves from His side and He prepares the coats of skin, which involves the shedding of blood, which is prefigures the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the hymn said it so nicely, it really affected me. To be in God's favor, believe in the Son. It's a very simple way of putting the gospel. To be in God's favor, believe in the Son. It does involve faith, though. It does involve faith. God got off the path, you live by sight, not by faith. You trace it all the way down. We're to live by faith, not by sight. And they come into God's favor. Well, it says here in this chapter, Paul starts in this wonderful. You see, because of the death of Christ, God, before the cross, God would bless all men, their nerve sin and judgment. Then he would bless Abraham, and then he would bless Isaac and Jacob, and then he blessed the nation Israel, and then the blessing was in the, to David's line and Solomon. But the blessing, who he was blessing, it became sort of more and more narrow, and the blessing of God's people related to their relationship to the one he was blessing. But when it came to Christ's work on the cross and him meeting this whole matter of sin at the cross, the floodgates of heaven could be opened and God could pour out his grace. And his grace is available today. His favor is available today. Now, it isn't available forever. We know that a time will come when the last of those that seize a hold of this gift of salvation in Christ, the day will end. But we live in this time, this dispensation of grace. And today, we have the opportunity to lay hold of it in Christ. So he has blessed us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. So he's blessing men through Christ. And that's why it's so important to acknowledge our state as sinners and put our faith and trust in Christ, because Christ is the man that the king delights to honor. Christ is the man that God has marked out. Christ is the man that has been raised out of death. Christ is the man who's sitting at God's right hand right now. All blessing is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, according as he has chosen us in him in the world, before the world's foundation, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love, having marked us out beforehand for adoption to. It's speaking of when the believer he puts his faith in Christ, but then he sees, looking back, that God had been working and blessing towards him, wherein he has taken us into favor in the beloved, in whom we have redemption. Here's something wonderful. We're redeemed. We're completely where he has purchased us. He has created us. And he has purchased us. He has two claims. And we belong to him through his blood. It has been incredibly costly for him, the purchase of the souls of the believers through his blood, the forgiveness of offenses according to the riches of his grace, which he has caused to abound towards us in all wisdom and intelligence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. So his riches in grace are seen at the cross. He has come after have to do quickly to catch him by surprise. He knew exactly what Judas was going to do. And he never lost the initiative. The man's hour has come, so he gave himself up. They could take him a moment before. They could take Christ a moment before. It was the time. He says, I have power to lay down my life. He didn't lose the initiative. God never loses the initiative. And he's working things. And the failure, the fall of man into sin didn't mean that God lost the initiative. He went right through with his purpose. Wonderful thing to see. God is going through for his own glory. See, God saves in such a way that he is glorified in the way that he saved. He doesn't just overlook sin and save sinners. No. The claims of his justice have to be met. And at the cross, the claims of God's justice are fully met. How do we know it? The Father raises him from the dead. And so God's righteousness and holiness remains intact. And his purposes and his counsels go right through. His character is glorified in the way that Christ brings in salvation. You see, sin was primarily an offense against God. So the death of Christ dealt with that. What was offensive to get against God? You see, sin, all sin is primarily against God. And the prodigal son had it right. He said, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. All sin is primarily against God. It's God we have to do with in the gospel. And he has provided the lamb. He has provided the offering that Abel took up by faith. He has provided the ram that Abraham is provided. God has provided the offering. It's a wonderful thing. But it has to be laid hold of in faith. To men, the gospel is foolishness. What could a man 2,000 years have to do with me here and now in this modern society? How can I be responsible for how could God impute sin to all mankind through one man? That doesn't make sense to me. Paul takes that up. If he's going to impute sin by one mind, by one man, he'll make men righteous. Wonderful thing. Through one man. Through Christ. He'll move on the same principle. Wondrous thing. So he's moving. But it needs to be laid hold of in faith. So he's moved through whom we have redemption, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of offenses. See, to be in God's favor, all this matter of our offenses needs to be dealt with and completely and totally dealt with. And to see that at the cross, you know, who I am according to the flesh wasn't reformed, wasn't fixed up, but was totally nailed to the cross. And God is finished with man after the flesh. And God starts a new work in your soul when you put your faith in Christ. And he builds on that. He starts new. Wonderful thing to see. So this favor, one of the other things involved in this favor, he causes it to be made known. And he puts before us his purpose. In verse 10, to head up all things in the Christ, in the heavens and the things upon the earth. We come into favor as putting ourselves in relation to Christ and seeing God's purposes in relation to Christ. Head up all things in the Christ. In Him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. Now, if somebody told you you had an inheritance over in Britain somewhere, some castle, and said, here's your inheritance. Would you be satisfied just to see the paper? Oh, thanks very much. That's nice. And then stuff it in the drawer of the chest there. Absolutely no way. You'd want to know every detail of that inheritance and what exactly you got. You know, you'd be reading the fine print. What exactly do I have here? Do you realize that in Christ you've received an incredible, we talked about one thing, which is sonship, but understanding that in putting our faith and trust in Christ, we receive this incredible inheritance. And Paul's trying to open our thought, open our minds, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. He's trying to open our thoughts as to what is in mind. This inheritance, you'd be reading, if somebody gave you an inheritance, you'd be reading every detail, every clause, and what do you have to do in order to obtain it, and what's involved. And perhaps you'd probably make a trip over there to go and actually see it, put your foot on and check it out for yourself. You'd be really, really interested. How much more so when in the gospel, through faith in Christ, you hear that you've received this inheritance, and you're told, by whom we have obtained, not future, have. You know, one of the blessings is that you have, one of the blessings of inheritance is enjoyment of life amongst the saints. People that we have no relation to, we come and visit and enjoy it. That's a blessing. We go over to Italy, some brother we never met before, open the doors to it, or you meet somebody on the street, and you find that this person is a brother or sister in Christ. Wonderful thing. It's part of the inheritance. But the inheritance is so full and so varied and so rich that if we had a sense of it, I believe it would be truly life-changing. It would truly, truly, you know, what are men occupied with today? They're occupied with stuff that wears out practically as soon as you buy it. You buy something these days, and it works, and then, even if it's nice, it sort of gets, you know, the fun wears out of it, or, you know, I like a nice music CD, but after hearing it about 20 times, yeah, the song just doesn't. How much better these things that you don't tire of, that always are enriched, the inheritance which God offers. Paul's trying to get us interested in what God has brought about here. So it says here, we have obtained, not in the future, right now, an inheritance being marked out beforehand to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. So in this coming into favor in God, the greatest thing that we can have is the knowledge of divine persons. He's trying to put that over all this is an all-wise God and full of wisdom, bringing into blessings that man has not even conceived of, not even can't even come into the mind. They're so great. When the Queen of Sheba comes to Solomon, she says, the half was not even told me. That's the idea. As you start getting in and enjoying what God has, it's like the hymn book is a thing. Okay. The hymn book is a gathering up of the heritage, of the inheritance expressed in poetical form. from Canada, I'm coming to the U.S., and some people have never met Canadians, and so they're going to judge all Canadians, rightly or wrongly, from how I behave towards them. Oh, those Canadians are so obnoxious, or whatever, you know, or you do some kind of, oh, those Canadians are so kind, you know. You know, they'll make these type of judgments. Well, are we going to be persons that are attracting persons to Christ? Or are we going to be spiritual scarecrows? You know, scary people the way, oh, that's Christianity. I've never seen that person look so dismal and always just sharp. But, you know, so we are ambassadors of Christ. And as Christ lives in us, His life flows out, and naturally we don't have to put on, they told a lot of the nuns, to always smile and look really, really happy. Well, that's one way of trying to do it, but in Christianity, you don't, in your joy in Christ, it flows out. So anyways, here you have the we are to be for His glory. What a wonderful thing that is, to the praise of His glory, the trust of Christ, in whom ye also have trusted, having heard the word of truth. That's really important. You know, we're speaking about what was essential in the early church. One of the first things was the teaching of the apostles. Right understanding of the person of Christ, a right understanding of the gospel, these things, the word of truth they heard. There is so much of what is false. The world is built on a lie. Christ is the truth. He personifies the truth. In Him is the truth. It says, the word of truth is come. You heard the word. Faith cometh by hearing. That's another one. The glad tidings of your salvation, in whom, having believed, ye have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Perhaps the greatest blessing of all is that in order to make us sons, you know, we can adopt somebody as a son. But He does more than that. He adopts us, but then He takes the Spirit of His Son and puts it into us. So we're really sons. Because we have the Spirit of His Son. We are in a spiritual way connected with God. We have the Spirit. And this is the seal. This is the imprint. This is the sign that He has, the seal that He has worked. This Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest, I think earnest is more sort of like a, you know, they speak of earnest money, a down payment for what's to come, or it's like the first taste of the promise, the earnest of our inheritance, you know, to get us into it. The earnest of our inheritance to the redemption of the acquired possession to the praise of His glory. Well, I can't say too much about all that's mentioned here, but just have this real impression of who has taken us into favor in the beloved, that this is to be desired, and this inheritance that He is putting out here is to be gone after and enjoyed. And that really the knowledge of divine persons is the greatest blessing. Well, may each one here know what it is to come into favor in the beloved, and if we are believers, that we may be expanded in our thoughts as to what that favor involves.